God,
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Is there anybody here tonight in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would just like to welcome you by first name. On Zoom, you can raise your hand and somebody in the room will chat with you. Anybody? All right. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Go ahead and put them away. You don't need them.
That's right.
Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. The AA preamble says, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight, which is step 11. And please help me welcome our panel, Donald and Patricia. So what I'll do is I'll read the first reading for the evening, and then our panel will share for a few minutes on each reading, and that's how it's going to go. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So our first reading starts on page 85. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Patricia.
Hi, I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic.
Pat.
My home group is Bayview. My sobriety date is November 2nd, 2002. So a little bit of experience, strength, and hope on this. You know, talking to the newcomer, prayer is, for me, was extremely a hard concept to really grasp. Not that I wasn't raised in a church, I was. Not that I didn't believe in a God, I did. But it's just, you know, that was, I was that person who was, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz kind of prayer girl, you know, if you know what I mean. So I was angry, and I didn't want to have anything, any part of that when I first came in here. But after sticking around for a while and seeing what other people had and what it seemed to do for them, I decided to get serious about the situation. And, you know, I started out really simple. I just simply said in the morning, help me through the day. That's all I said. That's all I started with. But it was a prayer and it was beginning to be a habit. So that habit grew in time. And so did my thoughts on prayer and my connection to my higher power. And I say that I at night asked these questions or thought about what I did wrong? Not in the beginning, no. That took some time to grow into that. I was a slow learner. I didn't even get a sponsor until I'd been in the rooms several years. So all I did was show up to meetings. I didn't read a big book. I didn't say any prayers. I didn't do any of that till much later. But today, every day, every morning, that's the way I start my day, because I am grateful that I am the person who I became today through the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. At the end of the day, I do reflect on, what did I do today? How did I act today? Did I harm anyone? Do I owe an amends? These are not things I would have ever thought about before coming into Alcoholics Anonymous at all. I took it slowly, but as I grew, my prayers grew. And the reflection that I do today, it's like I have readings I do in the morning. You know, a lot of people can spout out a lot of different prayers, not me. The Serenity Prayer, Our Father, yeah, I got those. Remembering other prayers, no, not so much. My attention span isn't the greatest. But I'm really grateful that I did continue to stick around long enough to see what effect the power of prayer could have in my life. Because as I look around today, it's amazing. It's wonderful. I can stop, I can pause, I can reflect and start my day over anytime that something's going haywire. And that's all prayer and getting that connection with my higher power, whom I choose to call God. And I do today, if I've offended or wronged someone today, I do want to make amends to that person. I don't want to hold on to that. I don't want to feel guilty about that. Those are not things that I would have thought about before. I wasn't who I was. I was gimme, 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 me, 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 I. Today, I'm not that way anymore. And I'm thankful for that. And it's because of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in the fellowship and all of you. I wouldn't be who I am today without you either. So thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Donald.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. Donald Smith, alcoholic.
Hey, Donald.
My sobriety date is November 17th, 1994. And my home group is the West Kent Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. We meet on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. I want to thank Amy for asking me to do this. I don't see her. She left. All right. Never mind, Amy. I unfortunately, for some of you, I just got finished speaking about a week and a half ago. So hopefully I won't repeat myself and you won't have to see me again. These things come in clumps. So I probably won't be asked for another 2 years or something. I know most people in this room, so they probably have heard my story 18,000 times. Maybe not that many, 1,800 times. So I won't go too much into this, my story, except to say that I started drinking when I was 14. And the one thing I learned how not to do, I didn't stop my mind. If someone said to do something, I was going to do something. I always said yes. My mind was always moving. I was not disciplined in my thinking. Even though I thought I had a lot of discipline in my life, And eventually I didn't, but in my mind, in the way I approached life, I did not have any discipline, mental discipline. I could not take a stopping. I could tell myself I would stop, but I never did. And that process was made even more easy for me because of my drinking, because I never stopped. I never said no to a drink, never did. Only time I said no was when I was passing out. But other than that, I was always going. And so that mindset got ingrained into my mind. And so I lived my whole life. I thought that I had to be, I always had to have a comeback. Always had to say something. Always had to be there. I had to do this and do that. So I did not know mental and spiritual discipline. But I didn't have spiritual discipline because I don't have it. The book tells me that I don't have the power to discipline myself spiritually. Even though I know things about myself, I can't stop myself from being who I am. So, and that's a good thing and a bad thing. And who am I? I'm an alcoholic who doesn't like to take orders. I don't like people telling me what to do. I don't like that kind of stuff. So I come here to Alcoholics Anonymous and I'm told to take the steps or die. And so I don't want to do that. So I take the steps. And I suddenly, on page 83, it says that we have, I say that the spiritual life is a theory, is not a theory. We have to live it. And step 11 for me is how I live a spiritual life on a daily basis. Now, to me, there's a lot of confusion about, you know, people talk about step 10 being the one where about we make an inventory and, you know, people say, you know, crazy things like I don't want to do inventory because I don't want to have to say I'm sorry to somebody. Well, you know, not sorry is the word. They always say, I don't want to make amends. But if you read the actual step, it never says make amends. It says admit when I'm wrong. And that's something I don't know how to do either, because that's part of me trying to learn how to stop myself. But the idea of step 10, I think, is just like the idea of step 6. Step 6 for me is I am entirely ready to have God remove all my defects of character on his terms and whatever those things might be. And step 10 for me is I'm completely willing to continue to take personal inventory when I'm wrong. I promptly admit it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact, is my way of living a life, a spiritual life. I'm a material person in a spiritual life. I am crazy. I'm a materialist. I love drinking. I love going out and doing stuff. That's the way I was. So spiritual stuff was not anything I wanted to do. And I'm going to be saying this a couple times because the one word in the step itself that I have always focused myself with is, it says, pray for knowledge of his will and the power to carry that out. I always have to remember that I can know all this stuff about being sober. I can know about how to work the steps. I can know about God. I can know about all these things, but I don't have the power to do any of it because I'm powerless. That's my primary problem in life. Over time, I will do something by rote and by habit. And that's power, I guess, in itself. And it disguises itself as power. But the fundamental thing is that I will stop doing that over time. Because the one thing I want to do eventually is go back and get drunk, because that's what I love doing. That's the way I was taught about alcoholism. I'm powerless over alcohol. And so that thing manifests itself in my life. So every morning when I do my prayers in the morning, I ask God to give me the power to do his will and to see it as well. I must say that this inventory, the nightly inventory, is the most unused portion of the steps. I don't think many people do it on a regular basis. I have been doing it for an awful long time. I make sure that at night I review my day constructively. I don't try to be morbid or remorseful or think about things that I may have been and should have been and blah, blah. I don't have time for any of that. I have to be able to be objective. The thing that I need to do is remember that I do things like any other human being. And my problem is that while other human beings may decide to, you know, go buy cars or go buy clothes or get online and do stuff, right? That's not me. What I do is I drink. I love drinking. So my go-to position is always going to be drinking. And that makes me different than 90% of the people. 10% of the population is alcoholism, and only 8, maybe 4 or 5% of those folks are in recovery. So I have a very, I'm in a very tenuous situation if I don't do this work. And I realized that a long time ago, but it took me a long time, 10 years before I started doing this on a nightly basis. I mean, I'm like you, I'm hard-headed and I don't want to do it. And I kind of thought this was, oh, I read it. Yeah, it's good. You know, your sponsor makes you read pages, you know, 85 through the end of the page. And here, read this every day for a month. Or my sponsor had me read it, I don't know, 6 months or so. So yeah, get up in the morning and read. And oh yeah, sure. I read it. Yeah. I know what it says. Good. Thank you very much. You know, and I'm out of here. Oh yeah. I did inventory last night. I sure did. I'd say that all the time. I lie like crazy to my sponsor. Oh yeah. Do you owe something to Fauci? Oh, hell no, I don't. You know? And I did. But that's just the way it is, until finally, when my life fell apart for no particular reason, it just did. The insides, not the outsides, the insides just went. And next thing I knew, I was like, I'm like, what have I done? What's going on? I don't know what I'm doing anymore. So I had to sit down and recommit and do the steps all over again and realize where I was, who I was, where I was, and what was going on in my life. And it was then that I got to step 11 and realized that this is the portion. This is showing me how to live a spiritual life on a daily basis. It's my instructions. And if you follow through it, it has all of the steps in it. So step 10 says I practice these. I mean, step 12 says I practice these principles in all my affairs. This is where I learn how to do that on a daily basis in step 11 in the book. And then the other thing to say real quick is that I after I review my day, I ask for forgiveness. Now, for what? I asked myself when I first read it. Forgiveness for what? Well, if you don't go through the day making a mistake, you haven't lived. You know, or you're self-delusional or delusional. And then I asked what corrective measure should be taken. And I'm thinking, all right, so what I'm going to do is go to sleep and let God show me what to do when I get up in the morning. How many of you had tried that? Gone to sleep with a problem on your mind and woke up with the answer? Not that you dreamed about it, but that it just happened. That's the power of God working in your life. And it happens to me a lot. And my job is to keep that pathway clear so that I can get that message. And that's how I learn how to do it. So I won't go much more into the inventory, but I would recommend to everybody that you do it. It's it'll change your life.
Thank you, Bo. We're going to continue on page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it. Pat?
Okay, so David was talking about this On Awakening, and he read it for a month. When I finally got my first sponsor, and she took me through the steps, I had to call her every morning at 7 o'clock for a week and read that to her for 7 days. And then she gave me an inventory sheet to fill out at each night, looking over what I had done that she would look at. That's how I got started on the awakening and the 24 hours. And she got me started in the right direction, where I could focus on how to go about what's my day going to be. I never had plans when I was a drunk. Just get up, go to work, go get drunk. You know, now I'm not drinking anymore. And luckily, by the time I got a sponsor, my obsession, I didn't have an obsession to drink anymore. I didn't want to drink. But I still didn't know how to live life. I hadn't grown up. I was responsible. I raised kids, but I didn't know how to think about what am I going to do today, or it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. So reading that to her for 7 days and then doing that list gave me a perspective on how to begin to put my life together as a sober person. What to do, because I didn't know what to do. I never lived a sober life before. I never lived responsible. I never looked at my actions that were always bad. I never thought about that. I just went and did, you know? So this taught me a lot about changing patterns in my life for the better, learning how to be a responsible human, learning how to think about what am I going to do today? How do I plan my day? What does it look like? What's going to happen if I run against an obstacle? What do I do? I'm going to pause. I'm going to reflect. I'm going to take that time to figure it out instead of going haywire crazy like I used to do. It's just, you know, making that conscious contact with God is amazing, totally amazing. And it took me a lot of time to form that habit. It's like when I pray in the morning, I don't pray for myself. The only thing I ask is, let me do your will, not mine. Let others see you through me. That's what I ask for. And what can I do today to help another person? Those are the things I ask for in the morning. And always, let me do your will, not mine. Because that's how I want to start my day today. That's how I want to stay in the presence of trying to live life on life's terms, trying to use this book and the wonderful tools that are in this book to live a good and decent life today, normal as I can be. And I'm never going to be normal, but trying to live a normal life like regular people or other people do. That wasn't ever something I was thinking about doing either. But this took me a lot of time. But as it says, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration, because we do come to rely upon it. I do rely today on reflecting, slowing down, pausing before I make some actions, because I can't get it right. Left to my device? No. It's going to be the wrong one every time, unless I stop, think, really work it over and ask for the right answer. And, you know, like Donald said, coming across problems and asking for help before you go to bed and getting up in the morning, and what do you know? There's usually some clarity there. And that, you know, that's not me. I can't do that stuff. That's definitely something bigger than me guiding me along to do the next right thing, which is also what this book's trying to teach me. How to be a better person, how to do the next right thing, how to live a good life. And so, you know, on awakening, I do get on my knees every morning, and I'm grateful and glad that I have the ability to do that. And life's good today. And I couldn't always say that, but living with a high power greater than myself and asking for answers when I need them, it's amazing. And it keeps me grounded to a degree. Yeah, I make mistakes. We all do. We're all human. But today I can look at them. I can own them after I do it and say, wow, I did that. Now, how am I going to fix it? That's never anything I would have done as that alcoholic drunk. Am I an alcoholic? Yeah, that's what I am. It's not who I am today. It's just what I am. And that's an amazement in itself. And that also is by no choice of mine. That's definitely something bigger than me got me to where I am today. So thanks.
Let's see. I really do like this line. It says, our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. I had never thought about that as being something that was needed to be done. It says also that I consider my plans for the day. When I was drinking, I had a job in an office, and I used to do to-do lists all the time. I'd write to-do lists, and I'd have something to do. And so I still do that. And I think that's part of my plans for the day. I am not one that thinks that we just kind of, you know, sit in and gaze at our navel and, you know, do Buddha things and, you know, the Buddha consciousness arises. It don't happen that way. Particularly not for people like us, or like me anyway. I don't know about you all. You all might be Buddhas and Buddhis, but
Buddhis.
Anyway, yeah, right. Thank you. There's some booties, right? No. But here's what it says. It says, I've divorced myself from bad motives, self-pity. I mean, these are the three big ones: self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking. Now, I don't know about you all, but I know how my life is, and I can go there just like that. Self-seeking is a big one. Oh, yeah, I know what I want. I'm going to go get it, right? And I'm not going to think about how or what it's going to affect other people. And being dishonest, I'm not being self-seeking. I'm trying to be helpful to you. Yeah, right? Yeah. And then self-pity. I don't tell you how many times I think I'm in depression, that I feel depressed. I'm bummed out about something. And also it is I got self-pity. I'm living in a spiritual malady of self-pity, and I think it's depression. It's crazy. But if I get up in the morning and consider my plans and then ask God to direct my thinking and divorce my thinking of these things and other things that may come up in your inventory from the night before, I can apply my mental faculties with assurance. Because guess what? God gave me a brain to use. And I get a chance to use an Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not just me sitting around doing, you know, humble things all the time. Or because humility is a thing that I do naturally. It's not an act I put on, you know. That's another thing altogether. I want to tell a quick story because I just love this line. We may pay for all sorts of us of actions and ideas. We may pay for the presumption. I think I'm connected to God and I'm going to get some good stuff, right? Well, let me tell you this story. I don't know. I must have been, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm 15 years sober. And there's this woman in AA who keeps coming in and going out, coming in and going out, coming in and going out. And I'm thinking, so one cold Saturday morning, I'm in my house. I'm thinking, I'm going to help her. I'm going to go help her because, you know, I can't. And I prayed about it, and I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I thought I got the answer. And that was, you can do this. You should do that, right? So I've committed myself to calling her on the phone and making a proposal of, let me help you go through, work the steps. So I said, okay, good, good. So I'm cleaning up my house. About 2 hours later, after I made this commitment, the phone rings. And there's a woman on the other line that I hadn't heard from in 2 years who used to be a member of my home group. And she calls me on the phone and she says, Donald, she was very Jewish and old. And she, Donald, how are you? Mm-hmm. I go, oh, well, hey, how you doing? You know, I won't tell you her name. She goes, I got a problem in my home group. And I know you're involved with AA and involved with home groups and you know about the traditions and all that stuff. And I want to talk to you about it. Because I got this problem. I don't know what to do. I said, oh, my chest puffs up a little bit. Yeah, sure. What is it? What do you need? She says, there's a guy in my home group who keeps hitting on newcomers. I don't know what to do about it. And I went, what? What do you, what? And so we had this long conversation for 2 hours. And in the end, I never did call that person on the phone. Right? And at the end of the conversation, I said, you don't know. I said, thank you for calling me. You don't know how much you've helped me today. Because I told her everything I should have been telling myself. I think I'm inspired. So to me, this tells me that number one, I use my brains because I got them. And sometimes they're wrong. And if I'm in the right space, I'm going to get the right message. But I got to be in the right space. I got to be awake in my life to what's going on, because if I had been totally committed and to myself and my own self-seeking and dishonest motives, I would have never seen that as a message. That's my opinion. I would never seen it for what it was, not just me trying to help her, but her doing something that God wanted her to do and knew how to get to me. And I saw that and I didn't do it. And it was the best thing I ever did. So I think that if we do this enough, these types of things happen to us as people. If it doesn't happen to you yet, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you about that. But I can tell you in my life, that's not the only time that I've made a decision and turned out that it was the wrong one, but I got a subtle nudge about not to do it. So with that, I'll end my confessionals.
Thank you both. We're going to continue on page 87. We usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown all throughout the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no request for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why. Pat?
Okay. So, meditation. I do read some books in the morning, some meditation books in the morning, or when I get to work. And there's always something in the meditation that I read that I needed to hear. I can always pick out something that's like, okay, that's why I read that today. I needed to hear that, or I needed to know that. And sometimes they do answer questions that I have. That the answer might come from a meditation on a question that I'm not sure what I should do. And I do every daily ask, my will, not yours. You know, I mean, your will, not mine. Got that backwards? Your will, not mine. My will gets me in trouble every time. So I don't, I try not to use my will much. I mean, but do I? Yeah, of course I do. I get in trouble and I have to turn around and say I'm sorry. And but at least I can do that today. And I can go and think. I can sit in a quiet place and think and come up with reasons for all kinds of questions that I may have. Decisions. I don't make quick decisions today. I try not to. I try to stop and meditate and think and pause. Because, you know, this freedom from self-will, I need freedom from self-will because it's going to get me in trouble if I don't. And, you know, never pray for ourselves. I don't pray for myself. I don't ask for anything for me. My prayers are always for somebody else or for something else. And my needs are going to be taken care of if I do spiritually what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to get what I'm supposed to have. So I don't need to ask for things for me. I try to live today knowing that whatever's coming down the path, whatever's going to happen in my life, that's what's supposed to happen. That's where I'm supposed to be. As long as I'm doing what I need to do and should do, as far as staying connected, doing the next right thing, doing all my morning devotions, whatever, my life's going to be okay. And the self-will, I can get some freedom from it. Total freedom? No, because I'm human. But I can get some freedom from that. And I can just work at living a decent life on life's terms. I just, you know, this program is amazing, and it blows my mind a lot when I think about little things that happen, little God things, I call them. They're everywhere. They happen all the time. I wouldn't have those things if I weren't connected. Wouldn't have those things if I didn't have a higher power that I was devoted to and got on my knees every morning and talked to, that I turn to when I'm in sorts of disarray. I'm grateful. I'm just so grateful for all the tools that I can use to get me where I need to go on a spiritual plane or whatever plane I need to be on. It baffles me. I can't express it. I have, you know, it's like I haven't got the words to explain or the knowledge to figure out. I mean, I know how it works, but I don't know how it works. I'm just really glad that I see all these little miracles in my life. And I've been shown through my sobriety and through things that I've gone through, how strong of a connection I really do have. You know, I've said this before, and it's like when I lost my oldest daughter, when she dropped dead on a Saturday morning, if I was not grounded in this program, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I would have drank myself to death. That's because I had a connection with my higher power. And because I choose every morning to ask him, let me do your will, not mine. Guide me today. Because if I didn't have him to guide me through that situation, I would have gone bat crazy. So meditation is a wonderful tool. I use it and it works for me. And if you haven't tried it, please try it. It's easy. Go to a quiet place and just sit and clear your mind. That's not always an easy thing for us to do, you know, to clear our mind. But I can usually go somewhere. My thing is the beach. I was raised here. I love the water. I can go to the beach and clear my mind and just sit in nature and get good relief from whatever ails me. And that's definitely my higher power again, because I don't have the ability to do those things for myself. And I wouldn't do those things if it weren't for the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and what I'd been taught in these rooms. So I'm going to pass it over to Donald.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Pat. When I was drinking, there was a country called East Germany, and they had the best gymnastic team in the world. And one of the things they did as a gymnastic team was meditate and listen to Baroque music. So the East Germans wired up their gymnasts, and they found that when you meditate, there's two ways you have when your consciousness, when you have consciousness and talking, you have a beta mind. And when you have meditation, which is quieting the mind, it's called alpha waves. So I used to do that all the time when I was drinking. I love that. I love meditation. So just a thought for you. The idea to start is just to make sure you relax your mind and your body and be conscious at the same time. And that got me started. It was really a good tool for me.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it says freedom from self-will. It doesn't say destroy self-will. If we lost self-will, we'd be dead. So we're looking, my job is to make sure that I'm working towards freedom from self-will and that all of the other things that go with it. But I don't want to lose self-will. I will say this, I got another story for you. Of course, the other one went over like a bombshell, so I think I'll try again. when I first started getting sober, I decided that I would be a great millionaire. So this says, be quick to see. No, I'm sorry. It says many of us had wasted. Oh, it says we ask for ourselves, however, only if others will be helped. And I said, God, help me win the lottery. I'll be a great millionaire. I'll give away the money. I'll set up foundations. I'll do all this wonderful stuff. I prayed for that, literally. And then I went to an AA meeting one day, and some guy had died. And we were sitting around talking to these guys, and they go, well, what? I said, what happened to him? And he goes, I don't know. His number came up. And I went, the Virginia lottery. So you got to be careful what you ask for. Right. Oh. Took you a while to get that, right? I want the Virginia lottery, not the big lottery. There you go. I heard a gong back there in the back. So I say that because there's a lot of times that I'm praying for you and I'm praying for me. Right? I'm thinking, oh, he's sick. Let me pray for him. My sponsor said, don't do that. Number one, I don't know how connected you are to God. And number two, I don't know what God you're talking to in the second place. So my job is to ask what I can do to be of service to that person that is sick, not to heal the person that's sick. The person that's sick has their own way to go, their own spiritual path. And my job is to help them get through that, through their life. I don't know if they should be sick or not. We don't know. You know, there's all kinds of weird things that go on with these, with what I think is bad ends up being good. What I think is good, it ends up being bad, like my lottery story. So I'll just say that it's important for me to remember that I don't know what I don't know. And my job is to be as open to what God has provided for me that I can be, knowing full well that I'm going to make mistakes. And this process in step 11 helps me recognize when I have made mistakes and when I haven't. So those two things. And whatever you do, don't pray for the lottery. To win the lottery, I should say.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and skip down to the fifth reading on page 87, which says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show, humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, "Thy will be done." We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And on page 88, we alcoholics are undisciplined. So we let God discipline us in this simple way we have just outlined. But that is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, we talked some already about pausing and when agitated or doubtful, I mean, ask for the right action or solution. And that it took me a really long time to put that action into my life. Because when I get spun up about something, do you really think I'm thinking, let me pause in the middle of this? No. I'm thinking, let me get crazier. Don't you understand? This is not right. So it did. It took me a really long time to pause, just stop. And working with sponsees, that's a perfect thing. I try to teach them as well when they're going through trials and tribulations, when they're new in the program. Pause. Stop. Clear your mind. Think when you're agitated. Because if you pause, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to have to say you're sorry to somebody for what you spewed out of your mouth if you didn't pause. That's what I found with myself anyway. And, you know, I used to be all the time, I was angry, I was mad, I had the fear, the worry, all that stuff for years. I had all that stuff I carried around. And who was it hurting? Nobody but me. All that anger all the time and all that fear. It's like, you're only hurting yourself. What are you doing? But it took this program to make me able to see that there's another way to go about this stuff in life. I don't have to be fearful all the time. I don't have to be worrying all the time. The self-pity, I'll work on that as well. Foolish decisions, I don't make as many as I used to. Am I going to say I don't make any? No, I'm not going to say that. I'm human. But today I can pause. That just is that gets me where I need to be when I'm where I'm not supposed to be. And faith without works is dead. We have to work for this stuff. I have to work for this stuff. I won't say we. I have to work for this stuff. Because if I don't, I'm not going to be a happy camper. I'm going to get that worry and anger and fear, excited. I don't want to live that way today. That's the way I lived before. Those are the things that I'm trying to learn how to manage and maintain. And by trusting in a higher power and pausing and saying, "Thy will be done, not mine," I can change some of the things that I used to go through that were horrendous and only hurt myself. I mean, I would work myself in a tizzy where I'd just a mental basket case, you know? And it's like, for what? What are you doing to yourself? And it took a long time to change that. That took quite a few years because that had been my habit and my nature for so long, was just to get so spun up that I would make myself half sick. It took a lot of time to really let that go and get rid of it and today, life is more pleasant. Life is easier to live. And so, you know, I try to keep the faith without work. The faith without works is dead forever. And that's true. And so I try to keep working my program in all areas and using my toolbox when I need it. And I mean, that book will answer any question you have. Anything that comes up, there's an answer in that book for it. The men that wrote this stuff, they were amazing. The way they put all this together all those years ago, it just blows my mind. But I just, you know, I do pause today, and that's been very helpful for me. So I'll pass it on to Donald.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat.
I'll be quick.
You're fine.
Oh, good. Couple really quick things. I try to live in the pause. It's kind of my, after I've been doing this for such a long time, I just don't get agitated or doubtful much anymore. I just kind of let God carry me to where I need to go, and I don't let people bother me much. I just, not saying they don't, but they do, but mostly I don't let it bother me. It's just, you know, I'm not running the show anymore. And I think that's the whole point of this, is for me to realize that I can be who I am and not run the show at the same time. And so all this, the stuff about less danger of fear, excitement, blah, blah, blah. I just love all that stuff. But let's get real quick down here. Two things. My sponsor told me once a long time ago, if you read this whole section is inventory and prayer. He says the entire AA program is inventory and prayer, inventory and prayer. If you learn how to do that on a daily basis, you're not only going to be sober, you're going to have good sobriety, and good things will happen because of where you are spiritually. And if they don't come to you, you're still going to have good sobriety because that stuff won't really matter. The whole point of this is not to get rich. The whole point about this is to be sober and helpful to other people. And what comes from that comes from that. And what doesn't, doesn't. You're okay with it, however it goes. I'm willing to lose everything I've got tomorrow because I try. And if I lose it, then it's done. I mean, wasn't mine anyway. This whole life I have is a gift. I shouldn't even be sitting here. I was such a drunk. Having said that, I'll plug going to the Tidewater Intergroup office where you'll see Pat and buying the book, AA Comes of Age. And in the back of that book, there's a bunch of appendices. They're transcripts of workshops done at the 1955 conference in St. Louis when they launched AA, when they turned AA over to the members. And back in the back of that, there's some things written by Dr. Thibault, who was a psychiatrist and a great and initial person who loved Alcoholics Anonymous and promoted it all around in the United States. He was just incredible. He writes in there about alcoholics being undisciplined. And that's where I told you when I said I can't tell my mind to stop. You know, when you first get here, you pause and agitate or doubtful. Well, how the hell do you do that? What does that even mean? Pause and agitate or doubtful. I'm neither, ever. Right? I'm going for it. But that's, again, check that section out. There's two sections back there in the very back. It is wonderful reading. And the thing is that God disciplines us in this simple way. And what that means to me is that when I'm out of line, God disciplines me. And God's given me a way by working the steps into my life in the 11th step to rectify any problems I create and to handle any excitement that I may get from doing all this stuff correctly. Because you can be correct by doing it. I mean, but you just got to ask God to help you do it. And the final thing is this, you know, when I read this, I used to say, oh man, every time I turn around, they want me to do more, write inventory. You know, step three is not enough. You got to do step four, and then you got to do step five. Now it says faith without works is dead. The next chapter is devoted entirely to step 12. And so that tells me that my job is to be of service to other people. And my first thing is to be of service to other alcoholics and to show them how I got sober. not how to be a sponsor, not how to be a friend, although that stuff comes in. But my job, my job is to help them show them and guide them through their sobriety by showing them how to work the steps. But their sobriety is theirs, and they have their own path, their own way to go. And that's the greatest thing about this, to watch somebody start over here and end up way over here.
Yeah.
And they're going, how did I get here?
Yep.
And you're like,
it's amazing.
It wasn't me. It was God that did that.
That's right.
And you and your relationship. So it's really important. I think step 11 is my favorite step, but that's where you live. It's not maintenance. It's growth.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're going to pass the seven tradition basket. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seven tradition is essential. At every level of AA service, it is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. We interrupting you guys?
Yeah, really.
Fuck. Our common welfare, word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to foster a secure and welcoming environment in which our meeting can take place. Are there any announcements for the good of AA?
And make it happen again. So if there's a minimum of dollars, if there's 6 o'clock, there's a dinner at 6:30, dining dinner, two speakers, DJ, giveaway, it's gonna be a good time. I don't know if you go very often, I'm going to be amazing. Thanks for everyone bringing it to me. You can fly a table if you need tickets, you may get a name or one of the folks on that fly.
Thank you.
Meredith, alcoholic.
Meredith.
Guys want to travel to Chesapeake. Grape Ridge Step Study is having a sober through the holidays on December 13th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. There's going to be pizza and meeting, and there's going to be two guest speakers. It's at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, which is on Man Drive. Thanks.
Alcoholic David.
Hey, David.
And if you want to do a dry run of that event, two nights from now, our own Travis is going to be telling his story at that very meeting. Great Bridge Step Study.
Get in the car.
Get in the car. Shut up and get in the car. And speaking of flyers on the table, we've got these lovely green ones. 3 weeks from tonight, right in this very room, we're going to have a supper and a speaker. 6 p.m. potluck. Bring a dish if you wish. And at 7 p.m., Susie S. from Raleigh, North Carolina, is going to come up. She's bringing a crew with her. I think Jerry Weaver's coming up, too, from Raleigh, North Carolina, 3 weeks from tonight. That's December 18th, right here in this room. But please take some of those flyers back to your home groups for us and help us get the word out there. It's open to everyone. Any other announcements for the good of AA? Yep. Potluck, bring a dish if you wish, and we wish you would. And, but don't let that hold you back, okay? If you come out, you can come empty-handed. We just want you to not do that. Speaking of home groups, Simple Actions is one. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. There's literature available over yonder. Please see me or any other home group member after the meeting if you need a book. Sponsorship. Sponsorship in Alcoholics Anonymous is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come and talk to me. Or if you're shy, you can send an email to info@simpleactions.net. And reminder, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audios and recording upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. There's a meeting after a meeting, y'all. And all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at Cafe Stella tonight, right after we clean up from here, right on Colonial, next to Kogan's, Cafe Stella. Be there. In closing, can we thank the panel again, please? Thanks to everyone who participated, set up tonight after the Lord's Prayer. Everyone will have a chance to come up and say thank you to Donald and Pat in person. And I've asked Joe to read the last two paragraphs on page 164.
Hey, everybody. I'm Joe. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Joe.
This is a vision from you from the Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
All right. Sweeten up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Our Father, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.